I've been asked to share with you this beautiful practice of Hazrat Inayat Khan that comes from the body of teachings on mystic relaxation, where we move from concentration to contemplation to meditation. First, I'll say a little bit about the mechanics of the practice, which I'm sure most of you have done, but then we'll have some inspirational reading before we go into the practice. The practice begins with observing an object. We're looking at the concrete form of the object, the outer appearance of the object in its detail. After that, we'll be asked to visualize that object inwardly, holding the object in our mind. The third part of the practice will be creative concentration, where we'll take the object and we'll modify it in some way. The fourth dimension of the practice is projective concentration, where we will actually send a visualization of that object outward. And the last part of it is deconcentration, where through God's grace, we can fall into a state of openness and a kind of emptiness, as the Buddhists would say. Expanded awareness, a unified experience with the object of concentration. But also, the teaching is so extremely profound in so many dimensions, because it teaches us this art of concentration where we can hold something until it comes into manifestation. And then at the same time, we have to release things. Because if not, they hold us, they possess us. Also, this is so helpful when wishing to send a kind thought, a healing thought, a loving thought. This idea, this ability to project is so important. The idea of being creative, not taking things often so literally, they can hinder us, they can limit us. But creativity enlivens us, makes things new, makes things fresh. This practice is so, you know, it's this and the breath and the prayers alone can take you all the way on the path, I believe. So I feel it a great privilege to be asked to offer this. And God willing, there's some benefit that will come to all of us. First, I will read from the Muruga Gitas. It is said, there are some impressions which act to the benefit of ourselves or of another. And there are some impressions which act to the disadvantage of ourselves and another. Therefore, the Sufi seeks the goodwill of another, worthy or unworthy, and avoids at any cost, at any sacrifice, the ill will of another. The former falls as a shower of bliss, and the latter rises as the blaze of fire. A Sufi seeks the goodwill of another, worthy or unworthy, and avoids at any cost, at any sacrifice, the ill will of another. And if you will allow me, I would like to offer to you, I think, a very poignant teaching from Mersha Padaya and Naya Khan in the recent book that has been produced called An Introduction to the Message in Our Time. And in that book, there is a chapter on concentration, and I would like to read from that. An impression is the shadow of external circumstances received from the five senses and traced automatically upon the screen of the mind. While willpower is the energy which motivates the thought, enabling thereby a coordination of colors, shapes, and lines, creating thereby an intelligible image. Everything which is perceived through the five senses is stored deep in the memory in a scattered form when not actively called upon. However, when wanted, all the pieces are again correctly reassembled, reconstructing thereby the original image. Concentration fixes the impressions received and also helps to secure the retention of thought, which obviously explains why memory is so dependent upon the correct observation of an object. I think that's such an important line. It is so dependent upon the correct observation of an object, as it is also dependent upon the willpower with regard to the creation of thought. And what is more, besides the impressions received through the five senses, there are much finer ones which vibrate within the feeling heart. And as a magnet can hold pieces of metal by the power of attraction, in the same way, thoughts may be steadily fixed in the concentrated mind by the magnetic power of the feeling heart. Today is the fire day. We're moving up the elemental scale. And those of you that are familiar with the Vedic tradition know that this element is so critical in the transition from earth to heaven. In fact, those that practice the Vedic tradition have a very specific stove in which they make burnt offerings to this element. It is right in the middle. It's like the Sri Yantra that intersects in the heart. And we know when our heart is ablaze, we have this feeling of love, this feeling of sympathy, this light that completely unobstructs the heart and opens it. There's no barrier there. There's no this or that. There is no more you and me. There is no more self and other. We become one in this light. And we know this from a scientific principle. When we look at things in their very infinite detail, what are they? But light. And when the light goes away from even the cells of the body, that life leaves. Divine light and life. And so we will use this beautiful symbol of the divine light as our concentration. And everyone can see it, right? Very clearly from wherever you're sitting. So I will give a little instruction at each of these stages, and then we'll have some moments of silence. Again, the first stage is observation. And here there are levels of observation. First, we can observe. We may even want to observe the beautiful holder on which the candle sits, because the holder is beautiful. It has a receptive quality, as if an open, caressing palm, a crescent moon, an empty chalice, which is holding this light. A beautiful symbol of reflection for us to be empty so that we can fill with divine light. And so we notice this receptive aspect of the holder, and arising from that, this white candle. White represents purity. And also, from a scientific point of view, if you study color theory, all the colors blend together in light and become white. So while white appears to be absent of color, it in truth contains all colors. And you will notice the detail of the candle, its shape, its size. But notice, if you can see, from the base to the top, it becomes as if the phrase raises from the denseness of the earth, because at the bottom there it appears to be more dense and dark in color. And as it rises, we see the illumination entering from the flame into the candle. And finally, the light, the dancing flame. Concentrate the mind very firmly, as if the mind is reaching out and grasping this form in all of its shape and color and implications of what light is. Illumination, warmth, charity, a warmth of character, a warm heart. A torch on our path. if you will close your eyes, and there you will see this form. You may think it's imagination, but there try to visualize very clearly what we have observed. So we notice again the beautiful holder in its receptive posture, the pillar of the candle arising out of that. We can see the detail of a kind of depth or shadow at the base of the candle that rises in its illumination towards the top. And finally, we see the flame dancing. Beautiful is it that this element of fire is one of the very things that propelled humanity in its evolution. And let us not forget that sometimes it's the rubbing of the rocks, the clashing of the rocks, that make a spark that can make fire. Sometimes this happens with people too, personalities. So be it. It's a transformational element from earth to heaven. Hold that image, concentrate on it inwardly. Visualize it. And we can move on to the next stage, the third stage. Again, there are five stages, like the five elements. Here we bring that image into its creative aspect. So we can visualize this candle as if it's changing colors. Look at that, how it can become all the different colors of the rainbow, all the different millions of colors in the world. And if you feel comfortable doing so, may I suggest that you bring that candle into your heart. Feel the warmth. It's not burning, it's just light. You visualize it there. Thy light illuminate my life's path. As Mersha gave in a teaching which was read yesterday, every human being has this divine spark. Here we're holding and ever greater illuminating that spark within. And imagine that the light is radiating through one's entire being and beyond. And know that this light is taking all the varied forms and names which are collected here together. Each one of us a unique light. And the fourth aspect of the practice is projective concentration. And so from the source of this light at the heart, imagine that there are infinite rays of light spreading from that one light outward. From your heart, infinite rays of light from this candle place there. And at the end of each infinite ray of light are more candles emitting also more infinite rays of light. And so it goes on. In some ways, the more elaborate you can make this projection, it is helpful in the end. Visualize the rays going in 360 degrees, infinite. And candles at each end of those rays and infinite rays from that. And we can use this practice to send this light, this love, this warmth, this compassion to all those who are very near and dear to us. Let it, the light, reach them, kindling a light within their heart, within their mind. And also imagine that light touching all the people of Katvai, people we don't know, but who also have that spark of divine light and are also in need and can be benefited by this warmth and this light. Projected outward. And then think of those people that perhaps, quote unquote, rub us the wrong way, that maybe allow us to have a little sparking within. We can't can also offer this light, this warmth, sometimes that occurs because of a lack of light, a lack of warmth. We can offer it. May all be of benefit. And there are so many places in this world where people are hungry, where people are cold, where people need love, where they're afraid. They live in a darkness of fear and hopelessness. Oh, let us send light to them. Let them know that there are people like us here praying and wishing and hoping and having faith that there can be change, profound change and shift in consciousness. Let the light go there. World and all its inhabitants, and the worlds upon the worlds of the past, the present, and the future may be illuminated with light. The light of understanding, the light of wisdom, the light of hope, the light of faith, the light of love and compassion. Now, if you will, begin to withdraw from those extended rays, find them traveling back. Back, 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 back. They don't disappear. The vibration resides, but they're traveling back and becoming condensed again into this single candle that resides within our heart, being held in our receptive, feeling heart. And now we begin to deconcentrate or deconstruct that candle. First, we start to erase the holder. Just with your breath, allow the holder to merge into infinite space. And as we breathe, the base of the candle is also dissolving into infinite space. And keep breathing all the way up so that the entire candle dissolves and the vibration of light and life enters space. And ultimately, the flame goes out, but the vibration remains of divine light, divine wisdom, divine light upon faith, understanding, love, and compassion. Remain in this open spaciousness for just a little while.